T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
New aesthetic.
Sam, you're not a fan of this album.
I love this song.
I'm a fan of this song for sure.
I mean, I'm a little biased because I already wasn't a fan of Taylor Swift.
Or
but
Post Malone.
I love Post Malone.
I love Post Malone.
The two of them, when he comes in, and that video slays me, by the way.
Yeah,
it is.
It's really good.
So good.
She's got some decent songs, but I've made the comment before. She bragged for years about having the pop formula down, and she does.
That's not pop. I don't consider that pop at all. That video is
absolutely.
It's pop. A little dark.
Well, you don't consider her pop?
Mm-mm.
What do you consider her?
I consider her her own genre of fabulousness. I don't even know what to call it.
She's all over the board. That is pop music.
Well, it's not country or rap,
but I don't
like putting her in a box. There's no box big enough.
Well, I took it upon myself to listen to multiple songs over the weekend because I knew that it was going to be a constant discussion on this program, and so I thought I should be well-versed in what I was going to be talking about.
All five songs that I listened to sounded the exact same. Go toward
and
the end of Fortnite when she and Post Malone are singing back and forth, and he's in that telephone booth talking about going to Florida. It is incredible.
I love that song.
I'm now a Post Malone fan, and my kids were like, welcome to that party from 6 years ago. Or 10.
Hey, had you not
I knew who he was,
Sam,
but I didn't.
Play Circles by Post Malone.
I didn't know it was. Yeah, I know that song, but I didn't know I loved him so much until I saw him in this video.
Oh, I'm a huge Post Malone fan. I love
Post Malone. I am late to that party, but I am now here.
Welcome.
Oh, he's so good.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's Circles. I know that song.
It's a great song.
Got a great voice. So I asked...
Haunting.
Oh, I love that song.
It's haunting.
Yes, his voice is haunting. I asked Scott during the break, when I say the word operate, and I'm talking about operating a vehicle... What do you think the word operate means?
Drive.
Okay. Because there's a very interesting ruling from the Kansas Supreme Court today surrounding the word operate with respect to a double DUI in a single car.
So here's the story from Topeka.
Wait, how are they both? What?
Well, we're going to get to it, Sam.
Okay. It's confusing.
Two people, two DUIs, one car. Jason Camblin was behind the wheel when he is alleged to have skid off a city street. He slammed into a utility pole, then into a house, then several yards before getting stuck in a ditch. Shayna Jarmer was in the passenger seat. Okay?
Okay.
He gets out of the car because they are stuck in a ditch and they're panicking and they're both drunk. He gets out of the car to push, and she like leans over Sam, hits the accelerator and maneuvers the steering wheel while he's pushing to try to get the car unstuck. They both get a DUI.
He registered a .22. She registered a .15.
Yep.
But wow, they were
then
pretty drunk.
The Kansas Department of Revenue notified her the state was going to suspend her driving privileges. You know, after a DUI, they're going to say you can't drive for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Not abnormal.
She challenged that in court, and it went all the way up to the Kansas Supreme Court, with her attorney successfully arguing that the state law makes no distinction between successfully and unsuccessfully operating a vehicle when considering a criminal charge like DUI.
Do they make a distinction between drunk and sober?
Yes, they do. But with respect to the suspension, was she successfully driving the car? And in a narrow split, the Supreme Court ruled no. She wasn't successfully driving the car at all. By gunning it and trying to maneuver the steering wheel in a stuck car.
Is this a joke?
Does not equate to operating that vehicle. No.
Did she press the gas pedal?
Yes.
Did gas go into the engine and create
power? Was her hand on the wheel?
The issue in this case, quoting here from her attorney, is whether my client, Ms. Jarmer, was operating the vehicle or was merely attempting to operate the vehicle.
What?
There must be actual operation for you to suspend her driving privileges, which says to me, if you're asleep in the front seat, Sam, and you're drunk and you are passed out and the car is not on, they cannot suspend your license.
Well, there's a whole lot of people in the state of Kansas who are going to want their money back from their diversion programs.
When you are passed out or sleeping in the front seat of the car, are you operating or attempting to operate the vehicle? So you are not.
What I've always heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, what I've always heard is if you are in the driver's seat and the keys are not in the ignition, you cannot get a DUI. But if you're in the driver's seat and the keys are in the ignition, you are subject to a DUI.
Which is a ridiculous test in today's day and age because we all have fobs. There is no key in the ignition anymore.
Fair point.
I've always heard that if you are anywhere in the vehicle,
throw your keys out.
Back seat, passenger seat, anywhere, and the keys are accessible to you, there was an attempt to drive the vehicle, you therefore can be charged with a DUI. The advice that I was told, I won't give the backstory about where the advice came from, was if you're in that situation and you
throw
have to pull over and pass out, throw the keys in the woods, because a new key is a whole lot cheaper than
Sam,
a DUI.
Sam, follow me here. When they're talking about the difference between attempting to drive a vehicle and driving the vehicle, this case where she's at least got her hand on the wheel and she's gunning it in a ditch is way more driving than it is when you're passed out in the front seat.
I would argue way more dangerous if you're trying to drive the car from the passenger seat.
They agreed with her.
Oh, come on.
And on Friday, reversed the Department of Revenue's decision to suspend her license, even though she failed the breath test and tried to get the vehicle out of the ditch. Wow. She failed to dislodge it and could not be found to have operated the vehicle in a sense that, quote, jeopardized her driving privileges. It's unbelievable.
The word operate was synonymous in state law with the word drive, which required that a vehicle move under the control of a driver, said the Supreme Court.
But it was moving.
No,
it was just spinning.
It wasn't moving then.
What if it was rocking? Is rocking moving?
It wasn't moving. It was stuck in a ditch.
Now,
there were certainly plenty of moving parts on it.
Here's my question. If you are not driving in a manner to kill someone because you're stuck in a ditch, then why is it even legal to give her the DUI? And I don't think anyone argues they weren't schnockered.
Well, they were.
They were.
He was three times the legal limit. She was twice.
If she was not found to be operating the car, and the Supreme Court's like, we can't suspend her license, she wasn't operating it, then how can she get a driving under the influence? There was no driving. They were spinning. They were stuck. Right?
Well, but if they weren't stuck, they would be driving.
But they weren't. Oh, it's a crazy case. I cannot believe they ruled in her favor.
Now, this is a far-fetched analogy, but say you're parked up against a building and you come out of the building happens to be a bar. You come out drunk. You put it in drive instead of reverse, and you run into the building. The car didn't move because you were already up against the building.
Well, how did you get into the building?
It moved.
It moved half an inch?
Nope. Well, it doesn't matter. It still moved.
I guarantee you this car moved half
an inch
when she hit that gas pedal.
That's what I'm saying. If they were rocking back and forth, is that not movement? And does this change?
But who's moving the car? Is the engine moving the car?
Or was he, because he was pushing it?
Correct.
Does this change the I fell asleep in the front seat? I was not operating that car. I was not attempting to operate that car. I was sleeping.
I was
Because this story does not address that.
I was sleeping it off.
Car ain't moving.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. here on Dana and Parks. Get to the calls here in just a second. The Chiefs have just signed Andy Reid to a contract extension.
Good.
Through the year 2029 that makes him the highest paid coach in the NFL. Good.
That's what back-to-back will do for you.
Back-to-back. Let's run him back. Let's go to Richard in Independence. Richard, good afternoon. Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for hosting our show.
Thank you for letting us.
So I have it on really good authority, kind of a funny story. But I have a really good authority in Missouri. A certain individual I know, I'm not going to mention any names, but if he's listening, he knows who I'm talking about. He was at a party one night. This has been years ago. He was at a party one night, had a few too many, realized he was not safe to drive. So he grabbed his little blankie, as he calls it, and laid down in the seat of his truck.
Okay.
with his keys in the truck with him, and a police officer had pulled up to, you know, do a welfare check, you know, suspicious vehicle check, want to make sure everything was okay. And this individual informed the officer he was just trying to sleep off the fun he had had. And the officer says, "I noticed your keys are in the vehicle, sir." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "You know, I can still write you for a DUI with your keys in the vehicle, right?" So this individual grabbed the keys to his vehicle and launched him into a field. And the officer said, "Okay, sir, night night."
Oh, okay. Night night.
Night night.
Night night.
Sleep well. Richard, thank you for the call, my friend.
No problem.
All right, be well. So, let's go to JT in Shawnee. JT, hello.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call this afternoon, guys. Richard and Dana obviously just covered my quote, my what I was going to say. You know, if a guy passed out in the front seat with the keys in his hand or in the ignition, can be written a DUI ticket and enforced in court, then this woman never should have won her case.
Say that again, JT. Why?
Because she was actually operating the motor vehicle with the engine started and the wheels moving. But a person who's like the last guy with Richard, who was asleep in the vehicle just because he had the keys in his hand, the keys in the ignition, not operating the vehicle.
I agree.
And friends of mine have been charged with DUI this way, you know, and completely enforced, had to do, you know, a year without their license, all the other stuff that goes with that. That's just ridiculous. But she won that case.
But JT, I don't mean to take this woman's cause, but let me play the devil's advocate if I could. The wheels were moving, but the car was not.
Okay, and in the case of Richard's friend or my friend, the wheels weren't moving. The engine wasn't even started.
My friend was still charged
with a DUI. He was in the driver's seat with the here was the caveat, Scott. He had the intent to drive is what popped him.
And what I'm saying is, in this case, there's way more intent to drive. They are literally trying to flee after crashing into a pole,
a house.
And a ditch.
And ran through several yards.
This is way more trying to operate the car than the person asleep in the front seat.
So how does she get away with
it? I don't know. Now, she got the DUI. The court just ruled they can't suspend her license because she was not operating the car.
Then how did she get the DUI?
I don't know.
So basically, if you have a lot of money and can hire some really good lawyers and fight the good fight for a long time.
These two people don't seem like Mensa members here, Sam.
I think
it's the way the law is written, where maybe with the DUI,
think they came up with the what does the word operate mean argument?
No, they do not. So do you have to be in the driver's seat to be operating a vehicle? If she was in the passenger seat.
Leaning over.
With her left foot on the accelerator, her left hand on the steering wheel.
She's still got a DUI. They just can't take her license because of the way the law is written.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Intending to operate, which I agree with you. I think it's one or the other.
She wasn't intending.
If you're not going to get the driver's suspension on your license, why give her the DUI?
Yeah, the driver's suspension is a product of the DUI. So if she can't have the suspended license, wouldn't they have to wipe out the DUI?
Here's the other thing. Why take this all the way up to the Kansas Supreme Court?
Because they could afford to.
Why not just take your one-year suspension?
No, this is someone wanting to change the law. That's why. This is a loophole in the law. This is a loophole in the law. And she found it, exploited it, and walked right through it.
At what cost? $20,000?
Probably.
$30,000?
Or at the cost of retaining her driver's license for the year she otherwise would have lost it.
Get a moped.
How do you get to work? Bird scooter?
You know, you can do that. If you lose your driver's license to a DUI, you do not need, it's my understanding.
It's weight, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. It's my understanding you can still ride a moped without a driver's
license.
Right,
but I think it's weight. It comes down to what is it, Sam? What cc's you're on?
A 50cc engine, yeah.
Sorry?
A 50cc engine.
I've never understood why motorcycles are weighed the same way.
Well, that's not weight. It's
medicine and boobs are, but they are.
Engine power.
Doug in Independence. Doug, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, Doug.
How you doing?
Hi, good.
I'm a former bondsman in Missouri.
Oh, good.
I don't know about the laws in Kansas, but I have bonded out many of people in Missouri. If they had the keys within reach and they were in the vehicle, whether it was running or not, whether they were in a parking lot, whether they were on a road, they got a DWI.
No matter what.
Yes.
Is it my understanding, Doug, even if I don't drink anymore, but back in the day, if you were driving home from a liquor store, you had to have the booze out of hand's reach, otherwise you are in possession?
As long as the cap was still sealed and the seal was not broken, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
But if the seal was broken, it was considered an open container.
If it was within reach, right?
No, it didn't matter where it was. As long as the seal was still on, if it wasn't broken, then you were fine. You were just leaving from the grocery store or liquor store or whatever.
Okay.
And it's like nowadays in Missouri, you're allowed to take bottles of wine. You know, if you at a restaurant and you order a bottle of wine and you only have a glass.
Yeah, but they have to specifically cap it.
The restaurant has to seal it in a plastic bag with their information and location on it before, you know, you can leave with it. But I know a couple of the people that got DWIs that were in parking lots, their attorneys were able to get them out of it because, according to the laws, you have to be operating the motor vehicle on the public roads in the city of, or the county of, or the state of.
And if you're in a private parking lot.
Yeah, but I bonded a couple of people out who got charged with it. Now, they did get dropped when they went to court, but 99% of the time, it's a judgment call on the police officer, and you're going to get the DWI.
I'll be darned. Hey, Doug, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it, man.
All right.
All right. Be well. Dave in Liberty. Dave, good afternoon. Hi.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Dana.
Hi.
Hey, maybe the technicality, like I was telling Sam, was if she was just leaning over and using the steering wheel, that would be driving. But operating the motor vehicle, she would probably have to have control of the accelerator and the brake. And maybe that's the technicality they managed to get her off.
But how silly that we are splitting that hair, Dave.
Hey, if you're a lawyer, you're splitting those hairs.
With a machete.
That's right.
Dave, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
A great question from the text line, and I believe the answer is yes. Does Missouri still allow open containers for passengers in cars?
They do.
I believe the answer to that is yes.
I believe the driver is then subject to a breathalyzer test.
Of course.
That way you can't just hand the beer over and say, he's drinking, not me.
Right. So in Missouri, your passengers can have an open container. In Kansas, no. Definitely against the law.
It's always awkward when you're leaving your house and you live, let's say you live on the Kansas side of state line by an eighth of a mile, but you're going into Missouri.
Sounds really personal.
Wow. I think we're going to get a testimonial here.
I'm just saying, like, there are people listening who, you know, happen to live within a football's throw and right. Not even a Mahomes throw. I mean, like my kid's throw.
High school quarterback throw.
Yeah, and so you know in your mind, if you were to do this, which I've never done it, that like you're technically breaking the law for like 300 yards until you turn on to state line.
Huh.
Yeah, right?
Never done that.
Going north and not south, of course, in the east lanes.
Right, of course, if you're going north, you're on the right. Missouri side.
I mean, these are things that one ponders from time to time.
Nobody does.
Not so sure you'd be accurate there.
What, you crack the beer when you turn on the state line?
Wow.
By the way, from the text line, yeah. And I believe this is true, you can get a DUI mowing your lawn on a riding lawnmower.
I've always heard that.
I don't think that's true.
If you're
on private property.
Many people think that you can operate outside of the law on their own property without penalty. However, if your property is accessible to motorists via a driveway or if your backyard backs up to any public roadway,
no way.
And a passerby reports you to law enforcement, that officer could determine that your unconventional mower maneuvers are suspicious and subject you to a breath test.
Find something better to do with your time.
Come and get me.
Come and get me.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Tony in Kansas City. Tony, good afternoon. Hi.
Good afternoon. I can't tell you how much I enjoy you guys. I'm a lawyer and also a carpooling dad.
Aww.
And I drive around listening, and about half the time that the callers say crazy things that are not the law, and I'm yelling at myself in the car going, no, don't do it. God.
Tony, we love our lawyer listeners. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, my God. So I know it sounds crazy that you could win your administrative case and lose your DWI, or win your DWI and lose your administrative case, but just keep in mind that they have two sets of rules and two sets of, potential outcomes or penalties.
Right.
So, for example, the administrative cases are technically not criminal. You know, they're more civil. They're administrative. They can't put you in jail. They can just discipline your privileges.
Right.
So you're not entitled to the same level of due process. The government doesn't have as high of a burden. They don't have to prove a whole lot.
You're talking about the loss of a driver's license.
Yeah. Or just the discipline of it. Like, you know, do you have a 30-day suspension followed by a 60-day period of restricted privileges, or are you losing it for a year? Or, you know, depending on whatever the allegation is, whether you blew or not. And it definitely matters as between the states. There's big differences. And please, you know, for the guy who said that, you can drive drinking on your own land or something, that's a misnomer.
You can do that, right?
No, not a motor vehicle, but you have to know what's defined as a motor vehicle. So
right.
I don't have an answer for you on the lawnmower question. I know that's fun to watch on Reno 911 right. Where the guys, but
hey, Tony,
but Tony, everyone,
real
yes,
quick,
ma'am.
Have you ever heard of a case where there is one car that ends up with two DUIs. That's the other funny part about this case, not that DUIs are funny, but that's what caught my attention when I read the story. I'm like, wait, how could you have one car and two DUIs? These ding-a-lings managed to pull that off.
So I have had cases where somebody gets pulled over, the police are trying to do the right thing, and they're like, look, you're getting a DWI, but we can save you the tow bill. Well, you know, call a friend, a sober friend to come get the car.
Okay.
Well, then there you go. Then Uncle Drunky pulls up and gets, you know, I was born here, you know, and then all of a sudden, now you got two people arrested. So I have seen that. You know, I've seen people with like four flat tires and you're arguing about whether the drive shaft was still connected to the drive train. I mean, okay. You're talking about splitting hairs. I mean, you know,
you've seen it.
We just work with what we're given. We don't make the facts. We just work with what we're given.
All right, man.
Tony, you call in anytime.
By the way, this is from the U.S. Department of Justice. The term motor vehicle is defined as an automobile, obviously, vans, motorcycles, and trucks, as well as off-road vehicles, such as anything self-propelled as far as construction equipment is concerned and farming equipment.
Yep.
What about lawnmowers?
But I'm not that as worried about equipment. The lawnmower on your own property as I am about the farmer's turnpike tractor guy that we've all gotten stuck behind. That mm-hmm. should be a DUI, right? You're weaving in and out on your large tractor that you're trying to get from point A to point B while you're backing up traffic for miles.
I mean, I can't drunk drive my combine? Come on.
I would prefer that you did not.
913-586-7798. Ray in Gardner. Ray, good afternoon. Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
It's so great listening to you guys. Hey, I just want to go back with the moped thing because we bought our daughter a moped and the people who bought it from the dealership said, oh, no, you don't have to have a driver's license. You don't have to have a tag or anything because it's under 49 cc's and it won't go over 35 mile an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she got pulled over and now this is in Kansas. They said, and I checked this with my sister who's a cop, no, you not only have to have a driver's license, you have to have a motorcycle license for a moped. You cannot operate a moped without a license.
Well, was it like a Vespa, like a heavy, expensive Italian one?
No, I'm not rich. I just bought her a Yamaha.
It was just a little one. You know what, Ray?
It was a 49cc scooter.
I'm sorry that happened, but I think someone would say, correct me if I'm wrong here, Scott, that you have to know what it is you're buying and what the laws say where you're going to drive it.
It says here, you can legally operate a moped in the state of Kansas if you have a standard driver's license or a moped license. Moped riders must wear a helmet at all times if they're under the age of 18. Hang on.
By the way, you can also get a DUI on a horse and a bicycle.
Now, see, that to me is not okay.
And that's dumb.
Neither of those have motors. Well, the horse arguably has a motor. It's
no,
hard,
it doesn't.
But
no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody got arrested. Oh, wait, they did at the Royal Parade. It was more of an admonishment and a ticket.
I think he got in trouble for having.
But how do you give somebody a driving under the influence on a horse?
It's happened many times.
I understand.
You are bored and have some quota to meet.
And in those cases, the riders have been known to tell the officer he knows where he's going because the horse can find its way home.
Okay.
All right. And on a bicycle?
Mm-hmm.
Sam, so can my car, but I would still get the DUI if I was in the driver's seat on self-drive.
Well, you would understand that, right?
Yes.
I mean, you're in a motorized vehicle.
He just said his horse knows how to get home. So does my car. I'm just saying.
From the text line, it's got one horsepower.
All right. Speaking of alcohol, this study just in. Oh, good God. They asked Missourians what time of day is acceptable for your first drink.
This is Missourians.
Yep.
Okay.
60% replied
5 o'clock.
They would never drink alone before 5 o'clock.
Yep.
Almost half replied they would confront a loved one if they noticed regular day drinking. One in three consider weekends and holidays a good excuse to drink earlier. And when they asked what is the average time of day that it is acceptable to drink, give me the time. And this has to be a weekend. It doesn't say, but they have to be talking about a weekend.
3:21 p.m.
Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
They don't call it day drinking for nothing.
Now listen, Wyoming residents came in earliest at noon. North Dakotans and Montanans patiently wait until 4:30. But Missouri, 2:21, come again.
2:21, come get it.
Patiently wait until 4:30.
Oh gosh, okay.
What do you think is a normal time?
Is it a weekend?
No, weekday.
Oh, 6:30.
Okay, weekend.
Now see, weekend is going to depend on what I'm doing. Am I cleaning the house? I'm not going to drink.
Mom's weekend at KU.
Let's crack it open.
9 o'clock?
I might have been north of that.
You're talking AM, right?
Yeah, we had mimosas.
Well, those don't count.
Yes, they do.
Once you have four, they do.
What's going on?
So I've been sitting on this all day, and now I can read it. So excited. We're going to break some news here.
Okay.
From the Kansas City Sports Commission and Foundation today, the Kansas City Sports Commission has received two very prestigious awards at the annual Sports ETA Symposium. So my friend Kathy's out of town for this sports.
Kathy Nelson.
She is out of town. And I get a text today that says, well, this just happened. And let me just read the release. On Tuesday, the Sports, Events, and Tourism Association, the nonprofit trade association for the entire sports, events, and tourism industry, honored the Kansas City Sports Commission with the following awards. Huh. They won the Event or Program Impact of the Year for its work on the 2023 NFL Draft. And Kathy Nelson is coming back home with the award for Executive of the Year.
Well deserved.
As president and CEO of the Kansas City Sports Commission and win for KC.
And I would go a step further. I think she is the Kansas Cityan of the Year.
Oh, without question. Quoting here from the release, throughout my career, I have witnessed the transformative power of sports to build community, create economic opportunity, and bring awareness to Kansas City. She says to receive these awards in front of my peers is a humbling and special moment.
She's an incredible human being.
Absolutely incredible. I am so proud of her. Get home, girl.
By the way,
we're going to toast to you when you get back.
By the way, when we were in Mexico, I did wear, and I know you had something to do with this. When Kathy was in, I think it was in Munich where the Chiefs played last year.
I said, please bring me one of those shirts.
And so she brought me back one of those Heart KC t-shirts, and the heart was in the color of a German flag.
Yeah. Right?
So black,
it's a
red,
cool
gold.
Shirt.
It's really cool. I took that shirt down to Cancun, and I was wearing it, and I'm in the elevator, and somebody, I'm heading down to, first floor or whatever, and somebody gets in the elevator, and they look at my t-shirt, and they go, you're from Kansas City? I said, I am. Indeed, I'm from Kansas City. They're like, where did you get that shirt? I said, a friend of mine got it for me.
Yeah.
It's from when the Chiefs played in Munich. And they're like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite shirts.
Okay, can I tell you the most awkward thing that happened to me while I was in Las Vegas, and it wasn't running into Mama Kelsey or Terry Bradshaw or any of those people, which I made awkward for them. It was the moment where I walked up behind at the fan experience at the Super Bowl.
Is this with Salvador Perez?
Someone was decked out in Chiefs gear, like a Mahomes jersey and something else, and we're waiting in line to get up to the ATM.
Okay.
And I said, oh, hey, Kansas City. I said, you from Kansas City? He looks at me and goes, no. But he said it with disdain.
Oh.
He went, no.
Why would he say with disdain?
Sophie and I were like, You're wearing our jersey, weirdo. Why? Like, I was just trying to make conversation, and he was like, no. He was head to toe decked out in Kansas City stuff. I'm like, what? You're just a faker. You're a faker.
He's a fake fan.
You don't even know where Kansas City is.
Karen, a five-year-old ostrich living at the Topeka Zoo.
I know.
Has died.
I know. I got a photo with her last year.
And this has gone Alonzo Washington.
I know.
After swallowing a set of keys that she snatched from a staff member, the beloved bird tragically succumbed to complications arising from consuming a foreign object, the Topeka Zoo said in a Facebook post. According to zoo officials, Karen reached beyond her enclosure to grab a set of keys from a staff member and immediately swallowed them.
She did. Sweet Karen. She was very mischievous. And, you know, I hope that nothing happens to the zookeeper. I'm just going to say this. I have to. They are devastated, Scott. The entire staff is devastated. That ostrich was this funny little sassy.
Well, listen,
I got to meet her. I mean, just funny, lovely, sassy thing. They are all devastated.
Zoo officials have conducted a thorough investigation and are taking, quote, appropriate actions with regard to the team member involved.
She just liked shiny things, and I think she saw the keys. And I don't think it was like a key. I think it was like a
buckle of keys.
Buckle of keys. Yeah.
Like a janitor would have.
And she just rope-da-doop-da-doop, and down it went. And then they, Scott, they went all over the world trying to figure out, is there a way that we can save her? Mm. And they tried. They tried, but could not.
That's too bad. Quick break for the news coming up in 2 minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott. Don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.